Money FM 89.3, best of the evening runway. Why it matters.
Money FM 89.3, it is the evening runway. I'm Elliot Danker. It's time now for Why It Matters. Today, we're talking about critical infrastructure, and we've seen advances in critical infrastructure technology improving efficiency and effectiveness. But at the same time, it also opens the door to threat actors and cyber attacks that can have catastrophic impact on things like utilities. Now, according to CyberArk's 2023 Identity Security Threat Landscape, we've got 61% of APAC organizations surveyed saying that they would not be able to protect against an attack stemming from a successful compromise of, say, a software supply chain provider. The energy and utility sector, that's often critical infrastructure. That's the vertical most at risk. 67% of global respondents saying that they could not stop an attack of this type. Now, imagine the repercussions that can come about if, let's say, we lose power, water, telecommunications, that sort of thing, and all that on the back of a successful cyber attack. What would it do as far as our country is concerned? How can we shore up that sort of digital security? Well, we're going to find out more today. In the studio with me is Ko Soo Han, who is Solutions Engineering Director, ASEAN for CyberArk. Soo Han, welcome to the studio.
Hey, thanks for having me here.
All right, Soo Han, we talked about critical infrastructure. I suppose, for starters, we've got to define it. I've done some special ops. Am I correct to say we're talking about like your Sembawang Wharf or, say, the radio transmission tower for this radio station? That classifies as critical infrastructure?
Yes, you're right, Elliot. So critical infrastructure in Singapore, the government has actually defined 11 sectors.
All right.
Right. So energy, water, media is one of them that you mentioned. So these are all the different sectors that are part of the critical infrastructure.
So now that we understand this, and I think it's easy for a lot of people to relate to, are there policies in place perhaps to ensure that this infrastructure is more resilient? I feel that we've come so far from the days where you have army patrols, that restricted signs. Things are so different now.
Yeah, you're right. So there are a lot of policies in place. In fact, the Singapore government just talked about the critical infrastructure, the CCOP version 2, which is the best practices of that. So those are all guidelines of how the government is actually helping the sector to think about cybersecurity and protecting the environment.
Right.
You know, this is very critical, right? If you mentioned it will adversely affect all of us, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And if you think about the critical attack factors, there are not a lot of changes in terms of the attacks.
Yeah.
Right. But the attack surface have increased. You mentioned that there are new technology, new things that's happening. So lots of things are increasing in terms of the attack surface.
So I'm not imagining or going too far. And this is on the back of how we've got these advancements in technology. Everything is so digital now. I wouldn't be imagining if a hacker could hack into some kind of network and then, like in the movies, destroy all the traffic lights. That is actually possible.
It is, but it's not so straightforward like in the movies, right? Obviously.
Right.
Yeah, there are a lot of policies, a lot of security, a lot of cybersecurity professionals are looking at it to make sure that this is secure. I think it's a collaboration between public sector and private sector together as well.
So when we look at the security ecosystem of, let's take, for example, our water supply, the distillation plants or something like that. If we look at the entire security ecosystem, how does it rank or how does it look like the areas that we have to pay attention to if we are involved in security there?
Sure. So in these sectors, there are usually two areas, right? Okay. IT and the OT space, right? The IT space are more like the day-to-day, the internet access, the PCs, the computers.
Right.
And the OT space, which is the operational technology, which is more the equipment that runs the water filtration systems and so on, right?
Okay.
So typically, the OT environment is a lot more strict in terms of the requirements. There's a lot more controls to say that who has access to it, what systems can go in, how do they secure it?
Okay.
Now, over time, there's a lot more systems that they need to do real-time reporting, more information coming out.
Right.
But in terms of what hasn't really changed is the identity space, right? Mm. And identity security, we're talking about who has access to what systems, right? And those are areas that as you put more systems in place, it gets a bit more convoluted and more complex to maintain those.
And that creates a challenge because it's not like you can cut them off from the internet. Would I be correct to assume that?
Yes. Well, currently they don't really have much internet access.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Place, right? For those systems.
Right. Okay.
But as more systems go in, then you need to think about the implementation, the maintenance, you know, more skilled people to come in and actually manage and maintain all these systems.
Right.
So there'll be more and more people who need access to this to just get all this equipment running.
Right. How does CyberArk come into this situation and how do you guys help?
So for CyberArk, basically, we are focused on the identity security.
Okay.
A lot of all these systems do have identity that is required.
Mm. Right?
So there's two types of it. People usually think of identity as people identity.
Mm.
Right? It's you and me who have access, or what access do we need, and how do we securely authenticate ourselves to it. But on the other side, there's also the machine identity. And if you think machine identity, what's interesting is that all these systems, from the application to the database, they need to connect to each other securely with the right credentials. And all these machine identities, what CyberArk found was that for every human identity, there's about 45 machine identities. So you can imagine that, you know, versus for one person versus the number of machine identities, that's a huge number.
Right. Must there be a level of AI to manage the amount of identities? Am I thinking correctly here?
Well, we don't really use AI today for that aspect.
Okay.
We use AI for other aspects.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Okay.
So for identities, there's always a system and a process in place to uncover those identities that we know of and uncover those that we don't know of as well.
Okay.
And really put a process in place to say that if the identities are there, for example, people or machines that join versus moving versus leaving the environment, there needs to be a process in place.
Right. Yeah. It's a scenario that where boring is good, if it can keep it that boring. In the event of an attack, for example, one of these critical infrastructures gets taken over, how confident are we here in Singapore of recovering if, let's say, a major hack or something like that? What are some of the challenges that potentially could occur should such an attack happen?
Yep. So as with the cybersecurity code of practice for critical infrastructure, right, there's a lot of areas in considerations, not only on the system being used, but recovery process, cyber protection, and so on.
Yeah.
So you can be quite safe to say that we have a lot of processes in place.
Right.
Right. CyberArk has also helped these organizations in terms of securing the identity space to make sure that that area, which is the gate and the keys to access the systems, has to be secure.
Right. I'm a don't trust anyone policy. I'm just like that. How does that zero trust policy come into play? Because I've heard this a lot with a lot of cybersecurity experts. It's best to have zero trust. Usually the person or the organic that can be the one that's exposed to the most risk are us human beings. Mm. How does that come into play where critical infrastructure is concerned?
It's very much similar in the sense that the identity space for zero trust, basically, if I take a step back and say, what's zero trust?
Yeah.
Zero trust is really about saying that anything that connects to the organization's systems, we implicitly do not trust it.
Okay.
We need it to be authenticated and authorized to be able to access it.
That's your processes you mentioned. Okay, right? Okay.
So because of that, we don't allow any system to just access those network, especially in the critical infrastructure.
Right.
So by doing this, we are able to say that with zero trust, everything that comes in needs to be authenticated, authorized before they get into the network.
Right.
Now, that's very critical, right? Because if any systems or any hackers that come in, they could potentially masquerade. You have seen over the last year, even attacks where a normal user, like a support engineer, account was actually compromised. And they use that to leverage and increase his privileges to gain and do nefarious activities.
Right.
Right. So with zero trust, basically, we are trying to reduce that privileges.
Yeah.
Assuming that account, for example, if your account, your email was compromised, right? What would have happened is that the attacker could use your account and go into, say, your bank accounts, even to your radio station accounts and emails and send out, right? In a zero trust environment, the attacker could gain your account privilege.
Okay.
But because by default, you have no or very little privileges, he can't do much.
And so we want to put in place that scenario. It's not a case of ego or anything, but it's really about when you have minimal privileges, you ensure greater security. Am I correct to say that?
Exactly.
Right. No, I I'm curious about that because where do you think this goes as far as like an education point of view? If let's say new joiners to the critical infrastructure sector, which is what you guys deal with. Because I remember a time where we were having a lot of conversations about how even the printer can compromise your cybersecurity.
Yeah.
How are we doing in terms of education and understanding these things better?
I think the Singapore side, there's a lot of things that's happening, right?
Okay.
There's even cybersecurity workshops and so on for young kids. even for coding practices from young kids. So we are starting a lot younger, even in Singapore space, and getting them to be more aware about the best practices of coding, the understanding what cybersecurity is all about, starting young gives them a head start.
Yeah.
And I think with identity as well, we're also looking at how one of the things we did last year was working with the Boy Scouts of Singapore.
Oh, nice. Right? Tell us about that.
Yeah. So we actually worked with them to try to help them with some education of what cybersecurity is. We worked out a cybersecurity awareness workshop that allows them to be more aware of that. So cybersecurity is actually more of a, we think of it more as a lifestyle rather than a one-off.
Right.
You could start cultivating the culture, the thought process about it. And with that, then everyone will be cybersecurity aware.
Yeah.
And from that, actually, things will be much better.
It should be beyond best practices, but more of a culture instead.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, it's just like a day-to-day. What do you see in terms of innovation solutions, trends in this space over the next coming years? What are you observing right now? Yeah.
So a couple of things. One of it, as you mentioned, right, is that with so many things that's happening, right, we see actually customers having a what we call consolidation of trust. And because what happens is that there are many different vendors out there and companies are implementing many different solutions in there.
Okay.
That is great to help them, but it creates other complexities. How do you maintain it? How do you operate it? How do you integrate to get more value out of it? That becomes a lot more challenging, and attackers are actually using that as a way to try to compromise because there's a lot of gaps potentially.
Right.
So we see that a security identity security platform as one of the ways that will help simplify some of this and then basically help them to get more value out of it with less complications and less complexity in that.
Right.
The other area is new technology. So we talk about identity. There is new technology like Zero Trust that you mentioned that basically removes away all the access unless you need it at the point in time. So adopting this technology will be more common.
I don't mind that because I don't need that responsibility all the time. Yeah. Sometimes you got to look at it that way. Yeah. So just a final question. I'm wondering if you have come across any cyber innovation stories perhaps that are not getting enough attention, things that are really up and coming. Have you noticed any?
So AI is definitely something that comes to
That's
mind,
the
right?
Thing, right? Yeah. I feel you live in a world now, you can't help but talk about AI.
We cannot talk about AI. Yeah. So AI has been interesting because a lot of people think of the values. You hear companies, right-sizing companies because AI is coming.
Yeah.
But I think AI is really two sides of the coin, right? There's one side of it is really helping organizations, cybersecurity professionals all to actually fine-tune, enhance, improve themselves. But on the other side of the coin is attackers also using the same tools.
Exactly. Yeah.
To compromise or build attacks in a way, right?
Yeah. So I develop AI with caution?
Yes, I would say that innovations will continue.
Right.
People will always want to leverage new tools and capabilities.
Yeah.
Right. It's about making sure that we have the right identity security because all this requires data models and data sets to train.
Yeah.
So the ability to make sure that your information and your data is secured and to be used for these models as part of it. And that's very key to making sure that AI is also used in the right way.
Yeah. Appreciate your thoughts today. I've been speaking with Ko Soo Han, who is Solutions Engineering Director for ASEAN at CyberArk. Thanks for coming by the studio.
Thank you very much for having me.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio at the App Store and Google Play.